SPNFC Daily, Luis Miguel Echegaray, K. Murray, and simply a World Cup winner joining us today. Do we even need to give him his introduction? Probably not. He's won the World Cup. What else does it matter? Frank, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Sorry, I don't know. It came out like that. I didn't do anything for that.
Just in case you guys didn't know, Frank Leboeuf did actually win the World Cup. He doesn't talk about it very much, but he's very humble about it. Doesn't often come up, just in case you guys didn't know. Listen, I would be bragging about it too. We've just finished the game between the Netherlands and Ecuador. It finished 1-1. It's made Group A pretty interesting, pretty much wide open. Let's talk about some of the moments in this then, shall we, Luis Miguel? Because I feel as though you're a bit upset for Ecuador after this game.
I'm really upset. I'm so glad to have Frank here and Kay and everybody. Welcome to ESPNFC Daily once again. I am pretty upset because I am such a fan of Ecuador. People need to remember the context of everything. They didn't make it to the 2018 World Cup. They were eighth in South America. Then comes in Gustavo Alfaro, and he has transformed this dynamic, young, fearless squad into something really special. And obviously, the Netherlands deserve their own merit. Cody Gap is one of the stars of the tournament so far. Clearly, he gave him the lead. But Ecuador with Ener Valencia, who, by the way, just keeps delivering, turning back the clock. And, you know, it was a valiant performance from Ecuador. And like you said, K. Murray, this group is very, very tasty.
So we'll get to some of the moments for Ecuador in this one. But just sticking on the Cody Gakpo line right now, what an opening goal that was for him, Frank. Louis van Gaal has said that this man can be one of the stars of the tournament. As LME's just said there, do you think it looks that way for you?
Well, definitely. He's already a star. I mean, for some people, we didn't know him, never saw him playing in the Netherlands. He's already somebody who imposed himself and showed his qualities. I mean, the goal that he scored the previous game, now this goal again, proved that everything is going into his way and that he has a bright future, that's for sure.
All right, so that was the opening goal. Then came what we thought was the equaliser, but it wasn't the equaliser in the end. What did you guys make of this decision?
I hated it, every single second of it. I understand the rules of the game when it comes to obstruction of view against the goalkeeper and obviously to an offside. But, you know, Frank was talking about it before we started taping, and I totally agree. First of all, it was a deflected shot. Second of all, it wasn't intentional. The player was moving away from the keeper. And, you know, there was nothing in its way that would suggest an obstruction of goal. It's terrible. It's not a blame on the ref. I want to make that very clear. He was just following the protocol. I just don't like it because in these situations, you really need a lot of context. I didn't like it. Should have been a goal for Ecuador.
Yeah, so just to lay it out then, he didn't touch the ball. But as Luis mentioned, he was deemed to have acted in the passage of play, that being basically blocking the goalkeeper's view, which would be harsh anyway. And you agree with that too, Frank?
I do, because when you see the action, you see the goalkeeper diving even before the players get the ball because he tried to anticipate, which is absolutely normal. And you can see the little space there is between a defender from the Netherlands and the guy who supposedly interfered into the action. And for me, it was a clear goal. He didn't touch the ball. He didn't interfere. He didn't blind the goalkeeper. So I know, I have to say again, as Luis, I don't blame the referee. I blame the people in the VAR, and they have to stop napping. Really, I mean, I guess it's hot in Qatar, and I guess they need a nap. But please, can you do so outside of the game? Because we are fed up to see those kind of things that for us seems to be obvious. There, you know, come on. You give it. Well, I'm happy that Ecuador drew, but it would have been so unfair.
Yeah. Oh, K. Murray, that's World Cup winner Frank Leboeuf telling you that. Okay. So we've
got simply World Cup winner, who, by the way, also knows what it's like to play in Qatar because he used to play there himself. So that just adds a little bit more.
It was really for football. It was really for football that I went to play for Qatar.
Of course. What else would it have been from such a wonderful World Cup winner? What else?
Exactly.
What else would have made you want to go and play in Qatar at the end of your career? So listen. The table as it stands then has got the Netherlands and Ecuador both on 4 points, Senegal on 3, and Qatar on no points as it stands right now. So obviously it's going to come down to the final day in this group. Ener Valencia got the equaliser in this game. Then he got stretchered off. Hope that's okay, because we've already seen some big injuries in this World Cup so far, Luis.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously there's many conversations and predictions, and you know, we've talked about it on the show about why that might be. You know, perhaps the mid-season World Cup doesn't help. Perhaps it does. Time of day of practice, the weather. I don't know. All I know is that Ener Valencia going down. I hope that it's just like a forceful cramp and nothing more. But he was teary-eyed. He had to be stretched off, and that's an issue. And you know, he's already scored 3 goals at this World Cup. You want to see more of that happening. I hope that he's okay. But, you know, just going back to what you said, Kay, this group is very interesting. And, you know, I predicted Senegal to come out of it before Sadio Mane's injury. Obviously, we've said that Senegal is way more than just Sadio Mane, but Sadio Mane gives them so much more. They got a good win against a very poor Qatar. And I want people to know this. Qatar are poor, yes, but they're really bad in this World Cup. They're better than this. I know that they're bad, but they're much better than this, at least in what I've seen before the tournament. But yes, they are deserved 4th place in this group. So now, I don't know. I need to see. I want to be wrong, okay? I want Ecuador to get out of this group because they deserve it.
Oh, yeah, 3-1 it finished, obviously, Senegal against Qatar earlier today. And now Senegal, you know, it's pretty much in the hands of those who have at least got points on the board as to who progresses next in this group. And we'll see how it goes. But Frank, given that we've got you, and given that, just in case anybody doesn't know, you won the World Cup with France.
Is that right?
Yes.
Nobody told me. I'm sorry.
I think it was in the 90s at some point anyway. Frank won the World Cup. France,
so long.
That Frank won the World Cup with, are in action against Denmark tomorrow. What should we be looking out for, World Cup winner Frank?
yeah. You are test. Thank you very much. Well, the thing is, you know, on my prediction, I put that Denmark could win the World Cup and will win the World Cup and play the final against Brazil. Some people will say that overrating, you know, Denmark. I want to see if they are capable of doing what they used to do. Well, what they did last year, beating France twice on the qualification, away from home and at home, which allowed me to think that Denmark could win the World Cup because they beat twice the World Cup holder. So that's just fair for me. Now, having seen Denmark playing and not playing well the first game, comparing to France, who found a good rhythm after being one down in their first game, I will go for a draw because I want to stick to my prediction. But I'm deeply in my mind, I think that France can win that game and already be qualified, you know, for the next round. So as a French guy, I would say France. But as a pundit, I have to say, because I have to stick to my predictions, I have to say a draw.
A draw. Well, Kay Murray, we have another Frenchman coming into the group right now.
Did he win a World Cup?
I don't think so. He hasn't told us yet. But maybe. But Julien Laurent is in the house. Bonjour, Julien, ça va? I do have a question, though, per what Frank talking about regarding the French national team. First of all, are there any updates, specifically at the back? Because I do believe that Konaté is going to take more of a, you know, a specific role here as they face Denmark tomorrow. What's the latest with the French national team?
I'm sorry, then I'll disappoint you because there's no Konaté in the team tomorrow because Raphaël Varane is back in the starting 11. That's what happened in the training behind closed door tonight. I just finished a few minutes ago. I just got the team that Deschamps played. As Frank knows, you play the Serbs against the starters, obviously, the night before the game very often. And the starters for France were Lloris in goal. Koundé are right back, so Benjamin Pavard dropped to the bench after the mistake that he made against Australia on the Australian goal. Varane coming back in the team now that he's really fully fit instead of Konaté and next to Upamecano. And then Theo playing at left back now that he's replaced his brother who unfortunately got injured. And then the rest is the same. We'll have Rabiot and Tchouaméni with Griezmann as a hybrid 8 and 10. And then the front three of Dembélé, Kylian, and then Olivier Giroud up front, who obviously can beat Thierry's records of the most goal ever scored for the French national team tomorrow.
Frank, what were your thoughts on what you saw from France in that first game?
At first, I have to say that they started well for like 3 minutes and after they kind of collapsed, you know, they said, what's going on so soon? And they conceded the goal with the injury of Lucas Hernandez and the bad positioning of Pavard, you know. And the deflection of Rabiot, I said, well, it doesn't start well, you know, what are we going to go to? And then the reaction was exceptional. I mean, the rhythm they put into the game, the involvement of everybody during that game. I found, of course, Dembele and Mbappe so sharp and so difficult to cope with, being helped by the scoring of Giroud, Rabiot going from the midfielder to also a striker at some point to score goals. I think everything was right. We have question marks about the defensive situation because Varane comes back. He wasn't that good with Konaté and Upamecano. I think they missed. There was a lack of automatisms between them, which is absolutely normal. Will it be the same with Varane coming back? I don't know. But that's the only question mark. In terms of spirit, in terms of physics, strength, they're there. How they cope to each other, you know, not playing too much with each other lately, that still remains as a question mark. And we see how also Denmark wants to play.
The only thing I'm going to add, Kate, just very quickly, the only thing I'm going to say is that game against Australia was very deceiving because Australia is not good. And France need to see what they can do against a much more collected side, much more cohesive side when they don't have the ball. That's Denmark. That's the only thing I'll say. I think that Denmark is a perfect test for this French national team because they're going to be a completely different challenge, I think.
Before we do let Frank go, he's going to be joining us again after the England-USA game, but he did actually have an English host for Thanksgiving yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Dan Thomas. And there's a lovely picture. In case you don't know the joke, Frank was absolutely incensed that Dan Thomas dares to go to a nice restaurant in a pair of shorts. And so obviously Dan got his shorts out and got his knees out. But at Thanksgiving dinner, are shorts allowed, Frank?
No. He kept his pants, you know, for the dinner. And suddenly I saw him escaping. And I said, where is he going? And he came back with shorts and And I say, well, you're crazy, man. You know, it's Thanksgiving. You have to pay your tribute to that beautiful dinner, you know, your wife made, and you are wearing shorts. Get out of it. And he wanted to take that picture. What a treat. What a treat for me. I won't show that to my family for sure. You know.
What do you stand on it, LME? Would you wear shorts to dinner in a restaurant?
Hey, look at Dan's calves, though. They're better than Jack Grealish's, I think. I think if I wore, I'm absolutely fine with it. Look at those legs. I'm actually, you know, I'm pretty impressed with Dan Thomas.
Yeah, he definitely can't play like Jack Grealish. Let's just say that. Sure. We can guarantee that. Anyway, we'll speak to you soon, Frank. Thanks so much for being with us. I don't think we actually did mention that, obviously, with Qatar not winning a single game, they are out. And they are the first host to be out after two games. That's just to make sure that we confirm that. Let's talk Neymar then, shall we? What's the latest on his injury, Jules?
It's not good. I mean, it's what we kind of expected yesterday. We won't see him again in the group stages. In a way, even if the injury is not too serious, it doesn't matter because Brazil will get out of that group even without Ney. You would have wanted him to get the rhythm, of course, and to play in those three games, to be sharp as possible for the last 16, which won't be the case because now, obviously, his next game will be the last 16. But if that is a big if, because if it's not too serious again, he will do more scans tomorrow and they will monitor the extent of the injury and how the swollen decreases and how he feels within his ankle. But yeah, what we kind of had anticipated yesterday in the sense that he would not play him anywhere in the next two games was confirmed today.
Luis, Miguel, I know that it's not just Neymar that you're worried about, though, being out of the team here because Danilo also has an ankle injury and you're concerned about that.
Yeah, that worries me more than Neymar, to be honest. So from a team perspective, obviously, you want to see Neymar Jr. in this team. He's if he's not their most important player, he's definitely their most influential. A reminder that Brazil won Copa America in 2019 against my Peru without Neymar at all. So they know how to win major tournaments without him. Obviously, it's not great. You want to see Neymar Jr. as many times as you want, as a neutral, as a Brazilian fan, and hopefully he'll be okay for the knockout stages. At the back has always been the questions for Brazil, and Chiche knows he has a plan B and a plan C. He could put in Militao, maybe do three at the back. Dani Alves, you never know, could start in this game, which actually be kind of incredible. But Danilo's a more of a worry because I feel like Danilo's the kind of player, he needs minutes. He needs to play. against more diversified opposition, specifically in the group stages? Because obviously the knockout stages, guys, it's a different tournament. It's a different World Cup. So, you know, let's hope that, you know, for the sake of Brazil, that they're both feeling good for the knockout stages. But Danilo is a little bit more of a worry for me, I would say.
All right. Luis, I am told that we're going to continue with our Brazil chat because there's a very nice reenactment of Richarlison's goal yesterday.
Is that? Right? Oh, do we have the rights, K. Murray? Do we have the rights to that? I think no. We don't have the actual rights, but we do have a good. Check this out. This is a good one. We showed it last time. Check it out.
Hang on.
No, I was just going to say the behind the goal action is beautiful. I love that. A lot of respect to that one, I think.
Well, you could probably see behind the goal. You were looking right at it. You were actually on the pitch there. LME is there. Look at him with his backwards hat. I didn't know you played for Brazil.
Yes, I pretended. I had to sneak in and find a Brazilian great-great-grandparent to try and get sneaking in, but it happened. Yeah, you know, sometimes I like to play and become a Lego person, Kay. What can I tell you? I don't know.
You're in there. Okay, Jules, you're out there in Qatar. Is there anything that we should know that's happened over the last few days, that how things have been going there, what it's been like, what the atmosphere is like that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, I have to say, I think it's been great so far for us. I mean, we live, all the ESPN people, or most of us, to be fair, we live in Musharraf, which is just this area here, which is very vibrant because we've got the Souk Waqif just on behind our building, where a lot of the fans go. So you get to meet a lot of the fans from literally all around the world. They gather together. We saw the Argentina fans earlier. I mean, there's so many of them. I think they by far, certainly from what I've seen, the most represented fans country here in Doha. And they're magnificent to hear them sing. And we've got a studio on one studio on the Corniche. I mean, one location of studios in the Corniche and one location of studios behind here near that souk. And it's just brilliant to see that. I have to say, it's the first time and I think the last time that we have a World Cup in the same city. And there really are a lot of positives. Trust me, we don't have to unpack and take many flights to go to games like we usually do in a Euros or in a World Cup. And that also has been very nice to us because we don't sleep much. We finish the shows really late because of the time difference. But at least you're not thinking about, okay, my next move is to travel 800 kilometers to that game. And then, so even for the players, for what the players have told me, they really enjoy the fact that it's all here in one city and it makes life much easier, to be honest.
Yeah, but it does. Just while you're there, I know that space is at a premium in Qatar. Are you sharing a room? Because we've been having a bit of a giggle with which of our staff are sharing rooms. And if you are, who's it with?
Yeah, Mark Ogden is the room next to mine. We're very happy. We're a very happy couple. And we've got Nadim and Noura. So we're on the first floor. Nadim is on the third floor with Sebi Salazar. So Shaka will replace Nadim. I mean, if I tell you that one kind of talent that you know really well somehow managed to get a one-bedroom flat for himself here in Doha, I think you know exactly who that is.
Does it rhyme with Nab? Does it rhyme with Barcotti?
Yes. I mean, he doesn't know how that happened. I think I've got a pretty good idea of the hours of lobbying that he must have put to get that flat for himself.
Hey, Julia, when's the next pickup game? I wish I played in that one. When's the next game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I was not going to mention it myself, but it's my kind of worker because we smashed Nader Manua's team. Obviously, I mean, they're just not good enough. Nader is not good enough. His team either. Now, we're going to play against a team of English journalists, I believe, in 4 days now. I need to book the pitch. And then my team is looking good. We've got Rodri Fires. We've got Sebi Salazar, Nadem, me, and then we need a fifth one to complete the 5-a-side team.
I'm flying over. Oh, man. Where do you play, Jules? Where do you play in the team? Up front?
There's a park near us.
Where do you play?
What do I play? I'm the maestro here. You know, I'm the director.
Zinedine Zidane in the house. Well,
people are laughing, but Jules was a good, promising young footballer. And I don't think a lot of people know this.
Zinedine Zidane in the house. I like it.
Yeah, and Nadim can get all cocky. He was getting all cocky with some of the players that they were beating and what we'd seen in the pickup game. And it's like, Nadim, you know, of many of those names you just mentioned, you were the only professional footballer. So you should probably write down.
Our colleague Mo, who put the video together and filmed it, was very kind to Nadim because there's a nutmeg. I nutmeg Nadim at some point, and that hasn't made the video.
Oh,
Nadim has a status, you know, he's got a lot of fans, and we don't want him to feel humiliated with a nutmeg. So we didn't include that in, but yeah, that was it.
Okay, let's get some of our attention back on the football, the World Cup football, not the wonderful, fun football that you guys are all playing off the pitch. So we're going to pick back up with that France-Denmark game, Jules. Who's the one player to look out for us in this game?
I think it's hard to look beyond Kylian Mbappe, really, because he was so outstanding in that first game against Australia. And as we said earlier, Australia are just not a good team. But we said it before as well, now that Benzema has left the camp with the injuries, Pogba is not there, and N'Golo Kante either, Nuki Mbembe, I think there's a feeling within Kylian to say, like, okay, I need to step up now. This is my stage. I want to step up. 4 years ago was great. But I was this upcoming, like, wonder kid, prodigy, and not many people knew him. Now he's a superstar. He's a world-class player, established world-class player. And now this is his stage. And I think it'd be very interesting to see how he does against a back five, for example, because we expect Denmark to start with a back five. Very interesting to see if he can continue carrying the team like he did against Australia. Maybe being a little bit more efficient in what he does with the ball. I thought at times in the first half, especially against Australia, there was just too many twisting and dribbling, and he could have played it a bit simpler at times. So it'd be interesting to see. But there's no, make no mistake, he's our leader now, and he's only 23 years old, but he wants to be the leader, so now he has to deliver.
Giroud, Olivier Giroud, want to ask you then, is he the most underrated striker ever? It was a question we asked the other day, and it's going to be interesting to put it to a Frenchman.
I think he is. He has to be. The guy is 36. He's about, whether it's tomorrow or whether it's in the last game against Tunisia or later, he will break the record that he's already leveled in with Thierry as the top goal scorer in French football history, French national team football history. When you think about the career that he had, that no one believed in him when he was younger, no academy took him in France. He kept being denied everywhere. He had to go through the lower leagues and climb his way up to make it all the way to the top. He won the Champions League, the Europa League, the World Cup, league titles in France and in England. And it's just ridiculous, really. So I'm completely biased, of course, because I love the guy and he's my friend. So it's a bit different for me, and I see in a very different way. But he texted me before the Australia game saying, I'm going to score. I'll tell you that I'm going to score. He had that feeling in him. And let's not forget that in 2018, he didn't score any goals. And I think a lot of people were kind of kept battering him with that, oh, you didn't score any goals. He didn't care. They won the World Cup. Of course, he would have liked to score. But now he's got two already in one game. And I really hope that he's got a very good tournament because he deserves it.
He's also so ridiculously handsome. So even if he doesn't score, it's... Julien Laurent and Olivier Giroud having dinner together. It's like a work of art, okay, Mara. It's a work of art. Hey, let me ask the last question here before you go, Julien. Was Mrs. Laurent a little bit... what was her reaction to the Wales defeat?
Yeah, there was a lot of crying emoji, I have to say. And her sister as well, and all that side of the family. I know it's sad. I'm not sure. I mean, they can still maybe sneak in, the last 16 maybe. They haven't looked good enough. And today, I think they were beaten by a better side. And Bale, the Bale of 2016 can take you to a Euro semi-final. The Bale of 2022 and the Ramsey of 2022, I don't think can do that. So it's a shame. They had this competition, the way they qualify, the first time in 64 years that was in the World Cup, which is great. I just unfortunately don't think it will go further than the next group game. And then
yeah, I think it would have to be England beat USA, USA draw with Iran, Wales beat England B. Yeah. So, yeah.
It looks unlikely, yeah. We'll you never know, but yeah, I don't think they were good enough anyway so far.
All right. Jules, great to have you. We're looking forward to hearing more from you. We'll let you go and we will pick up and speak. Guys, just me and you now, LMA.
Well, guys, everybody listening.
Guys, so everybody
watching
listening.
And watching.
Turns out there's quite a big game coming up next.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
It would be England against the USA. And there's so much excitement for this game. Okay, the lineups are in. As expected, Gareth Southgate's lineup is unchanged. There is one change to Greg Berhalter's lineup, and that's that Hadji Wright is in place of Josh Sargent in terms of name for name. But he's kept everything else the same as well. So there were obviously some injury concerns as to whether some players were actually fully fit for the US in that first game. But the likes of Dest and McKinney are back in the lineup for the USA today. What's your prediction for the game, Luis?
The score prediction, and there you ask me straight away, Kay Murray, where do you think I'm going to go? Am I going to go with my heart, or am I going to go with my brain, or am I going to have any dinner because my wife's American?
What's your brain tell you then instead of your heart? I know what your heart tells you. You were born in England. You were raised in England. But what does your brain tell you?
Oh, England, I think. I mean, I think you have to be really, you know, what's the word, I guess, diplomatic about this performance, this match, this fixture against a very good, very talented, very willing American side who is still, yes, I will use the cliche of too young. And I think you showed that against Wales, USMNT. You're a little too eager, specifically in the latter stages of that game. Remember, there's also a few players here on the yellow card, and one more gets you suspended for the following match. I'm taking nothing away from this very, very good American side who's still learning. I just think that England is just too strong, too experienced, even with, you know, new players coming in with the likes of Jude Bellingham, etc. They're just too good. I mean, what do you think, Kay? This is clearly two teams going in a good path, positive path. Obviously, there's resiliency and apprehension from an England standpoint, but surely, Kay, you agree with me, England is winning this game. It would have to take a very poor performance from England not to win it, no?
Well, they should win this game, but I dare not say that, given some of the history between these two teams, I dare not underestimate the US. Regardless of the teams over the years, it's been silly to do so. I also am currently in the middle of my petition for my US citizenship.
Oh, God! You better be quiet then.
So I think that I'll be very, very diplomatic, and I shall go for a draw.
Oh, my God, Kay Murray. Well, Kay, you know what? Actually, number one, after the show, I need to ask you about that process, because I think I'm going to do it the year after. So I might need to go for a USMNT win.
Well, wait to find out if I get it first, and then ask me about the process.
All right. So are you really going for a draw, Kay? Is that really what you're going for? Like 1-1 or something like that?
I feel like I should go for an England win, but I just don't know if I dare. And I think if England are going to win, we'll see it very soon. It will be, England are winning this game. If it gets to, say, past 30 minutes and either England haven't scored or no goal's been scored, then I think maybe we're in for a bit of a trickier game.
Then what happens? USCIS is looking at Kay Murray's application. Then I'm going to put it a little bit further up.
I did do the roster reveal for the US, so maybe that will go in my favor as well.
Oh, that's true. I hope you saved that. Maybe that will be my save. All right. England's winning this. It's going to be a very tight game, but I think England's going to win this. The US might even get a goal here. I think 2-1 to England.
All right. Well, Gareth Southgate's not going to be happy with any goals conceded. Even in a game where his team scored 6, he wasn't happy with the 2 conceded. But that's Gareth Southgate, former defender for you. Anyway, thanks so much for being with us. We will be with you right after that game between England and the USA. Make sure you are here too to find out if Luis was right and if I am going to get my citizenship.